Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits. I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. Y'all, every week, it just feels like we're living through an unprecedented moment, and I'm kind of sick of it, y'all. But hey, Trump was impeached for a second time. Didn't even know that was possible, but hey, he likes to win, so he now is the most impeached president in history. What a win. What a victory. Next time I talk to y'all, Joe Biden will be president. Super excited about that. Super excited to have Kamala as our first female VP, shattering those glass ceilings. Let's go. Very excited. And today on the show, I have Michael Judson Berry. If you've been on the internet the past 9 months, then you know who he is. He does Quarantine Time as Moira Rose from Schitt's Creek, and it's the funniest thing in the world, and I was super excited to talk to him. So here's my conversation with Michael Judson Berry. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you.
How are you on this fine day?
Oh, I'm doing well. Staying warm as winter has decided to descend upon us.
Oh, yes. You're on the East Coast, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. It's freezing.
That's hysterical because it's like so hot in my office right now that I have the air conditioning on.
Grass is always greener.
Truly, truly. Well, welcome to the show. It's so nice to talk to you. I'm happy to have you on this week. I got to say, I watched basically every video of Moira Rose that you've done, and they are superb. I don't know how you do it, but it's amazing.
Oh, well, thank you. thank you. I honestly don't know either. I never actually like sat down and practiced the voice. It just sort of happened. So it's been such a wonderful little happy accident. So thank you.
That's hysterical. What what made you decide to start doing quarantine time? Because it's really become such a huge thing, and it's so funny.
Thank you. Yeah, it started early in the lockdown, I guess our first lockdown last spring. And I had been doing lots of improv at the Pit before, the year before. And so I was still doing sort of online improv jams and things like that with friends there. And all of that, all my comedy writer friends were all, you know, creating podcasts and web series and doing all these amazing things. And I was like, well, I'll try something. And my roommate and I, my roommate who introduced me to Schitt's Creek and does an amazing David, he and I did one of those. Oh yeah, he's amazing. We did one of those Instagram challenges, and it was an impersonation challenge.
Oh
yeah. And so we did Moira and David, and our friends thought it was really funny. And so that's where I was like, well, maybe this will be it. And she's always drinking tea on the show. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, what if we do like tea time with Moira and David, and each week we'll give sort of our perspective on what's going on. And he had no desire to do this. But luckily he had a bunch of old wigs from Halloween costumes in the bottom of his closet. So I just did it myself. Yeah. And it was just sort of a little inside joke. And I think the second video I did got a few thousand views. And so I remember my friend who does drag messaged me, and he was like, Michael, if this is going to be a thing, brush your hair.
Oh my God.
And then my mom called me, and she was like, Michael, if people are going to watch this, make sure they stay positive and uplifting, because that's what we need. And so it sort of became this challenge where every few days or so I'd plop a wig on my head and look around and be like, well, what's sort of a happy, hopeful message I can give today, but from Moira Rose's very specific perspective. So
it's so good.
Long-winded answer, but yeah.
No, I love it. I mean, it's so smart too, because Schitt's Creek is this revolutionary show that everybody loves. Heck, even for Christmas, my best friend got me a Rose Motel keychain. Nice. it's this great show, and for you to do something this creative with that character is really impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, and I think that's the nice thing about that show is it's such a beautiful sort of escape, I guess. It's like, imagine if the world was like this world. And so I've tried to stay very true to that tone of like, you know, you can still be a little sarcastic and push buttons, but at the same time, like stay in this sort of like kind of lovely, uplifting, positive world.
Mm.
So
yeah, that's very true. It is kind of this perfect world that, or not perfect, but closer to what we all could hope to live in.
Yeah. All those, I mean, they can be kind of wacky at times, but they're all just so delightful and everyone is so nice.
It's true. Got you into acting? Because obviously, I mean, to develop a character and be able to impersonate a character as complicated as Moira, you've had to have studied your butt off your whole life.
Yeah, actually, kind of, yeah. I did my first show when I was six.
Dang.
Yeah, because I was very ADD, well, still am, obviously, but like hyperactive and made my parents insane. And they're like, we need to find this kid a hobby and just get him out of the house. And my mom grew up just outside New York City. And so she grew up seeing Broadway shows and loving theater. And my dad was a professional musician for a long time. Mm. And luckily I grew up in Syracuse, New York, which has a lot of regional and local theater. And so when I was six, my mom had my older sister and I audition for The King and I. She was like, it'll be good for you too, just try it. And we both got into the show. My sister hated it. I loved it. I got a little moment where I got a laugh. And so I was just sort of hooked. And so I did theater all growing up in sort of that like regional or upstate New York area and taking dance lessons and voice lessons. And then went to Boston University and got my BFA. And then I've spent my adult life, I guess, going back and forth between acting and casting, actually. Because I did a casting internship right out of school on CSI Miami to just learn about the business.
Yeah.
And ended up really liking it. And so I've just sort of had these two kind of parallel careers where I just sort of bounce back and forth.
That's really cool, because I think as an actor, the more that we can understand the actual process of filmmaking, the better we are at our jobs.
Oh, for sure. Like, I think every actor should at least be like a reader for casting directors, so you can get a sense of what really goes on. And I think it makes it a lot less scary, because at least all the casting directors I worked for in both New York and LA are all super nice. Everyone I worked for is really nice. And they're like really rooting for the actors to be good.
Right. They need the actors to be good. They want to hire someone.
Yeah. The best problem you can have is having too many good choices. honestly, they're like, please God, everybody be brilliant. Just everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Like they're really rooting for you, which then when I go into an audition just makes me feel so much better. Just knowing that that's the mindset coming in. And it's like, okay, you're a friend, not someone to be feared.
Right, right. Because it can get very twisted very quickly in your head.
Oh, for sure. You can walk out and they're like, they hated me. They didn't let me do a second take. This is awful. And it's like, no, you probably were just so good. And they're an hour and a half behind schedule and they didn't need to have you do it again. You were fabulous. Go home and, you know, celebrate.
Honestly, that's one of the reasons why when I go into auditions and I know they're behind, if I only do it one time, I'm like, oh, I did good. That's why they're letting me leave.
Basically, yeah. They're like, oh, thank God, she was great. You can go. Bye. Like, bye. They only needed to see one scene. They're like, oh, that one was great. Cool. We know she's got it. We don't want to. Let's keep moving.
That's amazing that you've worked in casting. And how long have you been doing that, too?
Well, it started out of college when I did that internship. Where I met Melissa DeLizia, actually, who she was the assistant and I was the intern. And now she's one of my best friends. And I ended up working for her years later when she started her own company.
Oh, wow.
It was her first ever assistant associate. We did history and that. She's amazing. She's a brilliant casting director. But yeah, so I did that internship. And then I came back to New York and interned with Jim Carnahan for a while. Got a sense of, you know, how Broadway works and how that community works, because it's so different from TV. It's such a different style. So that was an amazing experience working in Jim's office.
And the audition process is so, so different as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember I did with Carrie Gardner, who was an associate at the time, we did all the open calls for the Spring Awakening tour.
And, oh my gosh.
Also, when actors are like, open calls, or so, it's like we had to sit there for 3 days listening to Purple Summer, Purple Rain, whatever that song was, over and over again. And I was like, oh my God. Luckily, she was very sweet and patient.
That's good.
But again, you're like, please God, be good. Even at open calls, you're like, oh, please be good.
Yeah. It's like, I want to finish my job. Please be good.
Yes.
I would like to go home.
Yes, but definitely a very different experience than when you're working on a TV show or on a movie.
Right. And you recently got back into the acting side of things, right?
Yeah, so I was acting. I did a national tour and I did a bunch regionally and then went back into casting for a while and then felt rusty. So I went back to grad school, actually, and I got my master's in classical acting at the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Art.
Oh my God, that is so cool.
It was fun. Yeah, I had studied abroad there in undergrad and loved London and loved the school. And thank God they let me in. and up to that point, I'd mostly just done musical theater. And this master's was just classical text. So the most contemporary thing we worked on was Restoration comedy. And mostly it was Shakespeare. And because it scared me. And I was like, so this is good. And I have a good friend who's a choreographer and a dancer. And she was like, it's probably good for you, Michael. Shakespeare's kind of like, you know, it's like ballet for dancers. Even if you don't do it, it's like broccoli. It's good for you. So went and studied there, and it was one of the greatest experiences of my life. Yeah. And then came back and jumped right back into acting.
That's amazing. I love that. Lambda is one of those places that when you grow up as an actor, it's like kind of like a dream place.
Ah, yeah. It was magical. And to study in London is wonderful, too, because they have connections everywhere. So we would do like movement workshops at the Globe on the stage with their head of movement.
Oh my God.
You know, or workshops at the National and at the RSC with the people who run those companies. It was very cool. Like getting to do a Shakespearean monologue on the stage at the Globe with their head of movement, you know, giving working with us. It was very cool.
I would pass out. There's no way I could even get to the stage. Like, I'd pass out before.
Oh, yeah. Like, just walking backstage, you know, and they make it a whole experience, obviously. You know, you're backstage, and she's like, this is a sacred space. I'm going to open the doors, and you shall emerge into the space. I'd like to breathe. And you're just like, of course. This is magical.
Whatever you say.
Whatever you say. Exactly.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine. That sounds like such a really just enlightening experience.
Yeah,
and it's just
wonderful.
So cool.
And going back into training as an adult, after having been in the business for so long, oh, there's something so wonderful about being like, oh, all I have to do is be an actor and study. I don't have to worry about auditions. I don't have to worry about day jobs. I don't have to worry about rent because I got, you know, whole student loans, which I'll pay back eventually. But at the moment, I'm just going to think about how much I can just be an actor for a period of time, which was wonderful.
And that's very interesting because most of the times, at least, you know, people out in LA and New York who are struggling with paying rent and doing all the normal things that you need to do, and you go to your weekly class and it's like, great, I get this 1 hour of feeling something, and then I go back to my struggling to stay alive as an artist life.
Yeah, which that's, it's hard. I mean, I think that's one of the hardest parts about being an actor is having that sort of emotional stability and not getting too emotionally exhausted, trying to balance that where you're like, okay, I need to do all these 50 million other things to, you know, survive just so I can go to get, you know, do my 3 minute audition.
Right. Yeah, I know. I consistently say I wish on any star that I could have loved something different.
Yes. Yeah. I have a good friend who's a very successful actor, and he's older and he mentors a lot. And that's what he tells young actors. He's like, if there's literally anything else you can imagine yourself doing, go do it.
Go do it right now and never look back.
Yeah, it's like the lifestyle is just so hard at times, and you have to really want this. If you've ever thought accounting sounded fun, go be an accountant and take voice lessons in your spare time. Like, live your spreadsheet dreams, you know?
Oh my gosh. Live your spreadsheet dreams. I love that.
Some people love Excel. I don't. It confuses me, but some people are good at it and they should thrive in that world.
They should. They should. It's honestly a skill. I've looked at Excel spreadsheets before and have been like, I don't know what this is, so I'm just going to shut it down.
Exactly. Things blink at you. They move. I'm like, ah, all I did was hit enter and now I'm on a whole new screen.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
But that's where, like, I'm the least tech savvy person I know, which is why it's been such a shock that I've done well on social media, Because honestly, I can barely turn my phone on, let alone use, like, edit and do things.
Yeah.
So even my friends, they're like, you're the last person we thought could figure this out. And I'm like, I know.
You're like, I'm aware that I'm awful at this.
I'm very aware that most people's grandparents are more Twitter savvy than I am. Like,
see, I'm good at the Twitter side of things. The video making is where they lose me.
Mm-hmm. That's why my videos are very, very basic. Like, I've had people like, you should do challenges or cool backgrounds. It's like, if you could get on a call and walk me through how to do that, I will.
If you want to set it up for me and then I'll just do what I was going to do anyway,
basically,
that'd be great.
Yeah. Right now, the extent of my abilities is wearing a wig and pressing record.
Which is all you need, truly.
Apparently so.
So let's talk about your new film, Milkwater. You star in it with Robin De Jesus, who's, you know, Broadway royalty.
Oh, yeah.
Super exciting. Mm-hmm. What's the film about? And do you know when it's going to come out?
So it's been in sort of the festival circuit for a while. And I know they're in negotiations now, I believe, with Netflix to come out soon.
Ooh.
Which is very exciting because it consistently won all these wonderful awards. It kept winning Best Picture and Best Screenplay, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
It's about this young woman named Milo, who's played by Molly Bernard from Younger, if you know that TV show.
Yes.
And she's wonderful. She plays this young woman who lives in Brooklyn who's kind of lost. She's one of those typical, like many of us, I think, experience. We hit our mid-30s and we think life should be figured out and it's not. And so she's looking for meaning and she meets this older gay man and she sort of rashly decides to be a surrogate for him because he's looking to have a baby. And so we follow her over the course of the pregnancy and how she tries to connect meaning to it and how it affects her relationships with her friends, with other people in her life. And it's this really interesting journey that she goes on. So Robin plays one of her best friends and I play his kind of enthusiastic boyfriend. who loves wearing very, very short shorts, even when it's very cold outside. But he's very sweet. His name is Teddy, and he's one of those people who's just sort of happy to be there. But it was fun, and it was definitely one of those roles that originally was much smaller, and then I got on set, and Morgan, our wonderful director, thought I was funny, and she let me improv a little bit, and she sort of kept working me into more and more of the film as we went on.
That is like the highest compliment you can get on set.
Yeah. And to talk about like with Crazy Audition, I know you talk about audition stories.
Yes.
That was one of those where I was on my way to work. I was working at TKTS at the time as a patron services rep. And my manager sent me the sides and the script at 9 o'clock in the morning on my way to work. And he was like, I need a self-tape by noon.
Oh.
I was like, of course you do. This was like a last minute casting. I was like, of course you do. Somehow managed to get the sides film. Did not read the script because I did not have time. I read the sides and I was like, I don't know. It seems like a lighthearted comedy. He's like, reminds me of Alexis from Schitt's Creek if she was a gay man in Hell's Kitchen. So basically, I just did an Alexis impression. That was the first impression of Schitt's Creek I ever did.
Amazing.
I basically did Alexis and got it in. Found out by 5 o'clock that afternoon that I booked it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was very quick. And then I was on set like within the next week. And show up on set. At that point, I'd read the script and I was like, oh, like it's light, but it's definitely not a goofy comedy. It's dramatic. And the director was like, so, I was so intrigued by you because your take was so different from anybody else's. And I was like, yeah, because they probably read the script.
Because they knew what the film was.
Because they knew what they were doing. And I swear, usually I'm much more prepared, but I had no time. And so in this case, it worked out well. And she was like, I got to do this, the first scene, I had this little like exit. And she was like, just improv a line as you go out. And it just got funnier and goofier the more takes we did. And so then she was like, yeah, I think we're going to put you in this scene now, in this scene. And I wouldn't have lines. Sometimes she'd be like, just make up whatever you want to say. Like, it was great.
That's so fun.
And luckily Molly and Robin, who I was with, are wonderful. Like Molly Bernard and Robin De Jesus are now two of my favorite people. And playing opposite Robin, who's so gung-ho and so sweet, it just made it very easy, you know? They made it such a welcoming, friendly place to just play, which was great.
I love that. Sets like that are so incredibly special because you really don't get the opportunity to play like that as much as you want to.
Exactly. And with people like that who, you know, I've watched them for years and I was already a fan of both of them. So it's great when you meet somebody who you're a fan of and they turn out to be lovely and nice And, and at the end, now we're friends, you know. So, I feel very lucky to have worked on that movie.
Well, I'm very excited to see it. I think it's going to be great. And I'm excited to see the very short shorts.
Oh, my God. Which nothing like shooting a scene that's supposed to be in the summer in the dead of winter.
Oh, and you were like, in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah, and running around outside in a crop top and shorty shorts. And it's like 20 degrees out.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and flip-flops.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It would have, except for the fact that everyone was so nice and everyone thought it was hilarious. And luckily, everyone on set was great. Like, the minute they yelled cut, like, four people would run and throw coats on me.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, thank God. It's like, everybody warm him up.
Basically, yeah.
Did you do that trick where you hide the hand warmers somewhere in your, like, body?
The only place I could have hidden it was somewhere very personal. And I wasn't that desperate.
Oh, man. Great.
Yeah.
So what's next for you? Do you have anything lined up as far as like films or TV shows? What do you feel like you're going to do next?
Well, see, I've definitely been getting more TV auditions as quarantine time has become bigger and more casting directors follow me, which is exciting because I love that world. And so I'm very excited to start getting on people's radar, which is great. And and writing more. But what has been so exciting is I had never really seriously written. And now I've written, I want to say, I'm 99 episodes in of this quarantine time. And I've written all of them myself. So talk about, you know, an exciting journey. And I'm so much more confident now as far as creating. So now I'm collaborating on a project with a friend in London, actually, who I met from my days at Lambda. And so we're working on a project together. So we'll see where that goes. And I've gotten a couple other offers from people now to collaborate on pilots and on different scripts. So that's what I'm very excited to continue to pursue and see where that leads me.
That's so cool that it's like kind of something that came out of nowhere almost, where it's like you just decided to start creating something and now you've almost formed another career for another specialty.
Yeah, and I think part of that comes from in casting when you're looking at scripts and analyzing scripts and figuring out characters when you're casting them. I think I've just spent so much time analyzing scripts that maybe now I have a decent idea of how to structure them and how they work. I don't know.
Well, I mean, quarantine time is hysterical and I'm obsessed and I can't wait to watch more of them.
Oh, thank you.
I would ask you to share a story, but you already shared your Milkwater story, which was pretty fantastic, unless you have another one you want to share.
That was a happy story. I mean, so many from years. I remember when I was the first audition I ever blew. I think I was like 9 years old and I was super cocky because I had just come off of playing Kurt for a year in different productions of The Sound of Music. And I was very fancy. And I went to audition for a production of The Music Man. And for the Gary Indiana Kit Winthrop.
Yes.
And I was like, well, I don't really need to practice the song because I'm just so good. Like, I'll just go in and nail it. And I had a voice teacher at the time. We'd sung it through, but I didn't really know it. And I went in and just completely froze and forgot the words and just bombed that audition. And I came out. And my mom was like, well, what happened? I was like, well, I was terrible. And she's like, well, why were you terrible? And my mom is a clinical psychologist, by the way, who works with adolescents. So she's like, but she's not like stage mom, but she's tough. And she's like, well, why did you blow it, Michael? And I was like, because I didn't practice enough. And so she sent me back in and made me apologize to the director for wasting his time. And promised that if he ever sees me again, I'll be more rehearsed next time. And so from then on, that's why usually I'm so prepared. Like, I've had this scarring experience.
I can't even imagine being sent back in having to say
that. Yeah,
she was
like, you go and you apologize to him because you didn't practice enough. And I was like, okay.
Oh, Bill, my God.
Yeah, that director, he ended up casting me in other things. But I hope he remembers that too. And then the recent one, when you're talking about heartbreaking ones, I was called in for Jersey Boys. And that was the first Broadway show I was ever called in for a replacement for Frankie, because I can sing all of the high falsetto stuff. And I'm short and I have dark hair.
I love that show.
It's so good. And they called me in and I made it to final callbacks and then didn't end up getting it.
No.
Because I'm not like a pingy tenor, I think, in the way that they wanted. But I can do all the falsetto. And I look right. But obviously that whole group from Tara Rubin, they're all really sweet. And they called me in 4 more times for either the Broadway show, for Vegas, and for the tour. And each time didn't get it.
Oh my God.
I got called in twice for the movie and then again in the West End. So I've now auditioned for Frankie 7 times and still have yet to book it. And then it closed on Broadway. And I was like, no.
You're like, I'll never get my chance.
And they made the movie. I was like, I'll never play this. And it closed in London, too. I was like, I'll never play this after 7 times of getting so close.
I mean, that's basically torture.
Yeah. At this point, I know all 35 pages of those sides and all like 6 songs, like the back of my hand.
Oh, my God. And that's such an iconic role in person, too, to portray.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Although I remember I finally saw it. I took my parents to see the Broadway show and they finished. They looked at me. They're like, I don't know, Michael, vocally, this might have been tough for you. And I was like, I know, it's probably for the best. Like they gave it to those real, like those tenor boys. But
yeah, I saw it when it came out to LA and I took my mom and she's been obsessed with it ever since.
Oh, it's such a good show. Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. Oh, man. Yeah.
But alas.
Alas. That's sad and torturous.
Yeah. Each time I was like, this is my moment. I'm going to get it this time.
Each time I go to the room
and they're like, we're so sorry, Michael. Not this time. I
was
like,
Was it the same casting director each time or were there different casting directors?
It was always somebody from their office and they got to know me well. Like I'd walk in and be like, hey, Michael, it's been a couple of months. How have you been?
I was going to say, did they show up bringing you coffee? Like y'all know each other very well.
Yeah.
Now.
Like I think there's only so many people who can do that falsetto. So it's always the same little group of us going in for Frankie. So it's always like, well, which one of us is going to get it this time? You know?
Oh God.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to me. Where can people watch Quarantine Time and where can people follow you?
Ah, well, thank you. I'm on Instagram and TikTok as M. Judson Berry. And on YouTube, just look for Michael Judson Berry. And on Twitter, M. Judson Berry.
Awesome.
So I'm all the social medias.
All of the social medias. I just started TikTok, I guess, like a few months ago, and I still don't know what I'm doing. Like, I was like, oh, I'll post my baking things, and then I'll post some political crap, and then I'll post that. I don't know what's happening on it. I think I'm just going to delete it.
I'm still confused. I was told at the beginning I was doing it wrong, just because I would sit and monologue and not do the dance challenges and everything, and people are like, you're doing TikTok all wrong. But then then videos blew up, so I was like, what the hell?
Well, you were wrong, sir.
Apparently,
so.
I'm doing it right. So I think there's no rhyme or reason. I think you should just do what feels good and what makes your heart sing, you know?
Posting what would make my heart sing would be me sitting there just reading and not doing anything. It would just be 30 seconds of me reading.
That sounds like some ASMR wonderfulness.
Right.
You know, I bet because there's that guy who has become hugely famous for just filming himself sleeping.
What?
So I think I don't remember where he is. He's somewhere. And yeah, he gets all these sponsorships from like sheets and pajama companies.
Oh my God.
So maybe
I love pajamas.
Reading. Maybe people would find that very soothing.
Maybe. Maybe I'll try that next.
There you go.
Well, thank you again. I'm very excited to see your film Milkwater and I'm super stoked to see what happens with your career next because I think you're super talented and it was great talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You too. Thank you.
Thanks again to Michael for coming on the show. Stay safe out there, y'all. LA is whack. I can't believe I just used that word, but it's whack right now. It is not safe. Please don't go outside. Please stay in your house. If you are an essential worker, thank you. I love you. You have done what no one could have thought would need to be done. You have put your life on the line for us every single day. And I am eternally grateful to you. We all are. Thank you. I love you. Please be safe, everyone. And stay inside. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you're listening to it right now. Leave us a review, some stars. Love that. Tell your friends, tell your family. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.